But actually, I found I had more questions, and even like the more philosophy we found, the more paradoxes we found. But nonetheless, the group was like, how about on Mondays, we just go out to the city and just do some outreach, just love on people. And we tried that, and it went pretty all right, because beforehand, we spent this really good time in prayer. And I remember just the prayer that Christ be at the center of my mind, be at the center of all my thoughts. That really stuck with me of God. Just let love be the center of just everything that we do. And that really, I feel like that changed the way things started going. So I don't know if how many of you were here, but Scotty, he was a guy that we met in the city, actually. And we let him, he came here in one service. Some of you got to talk to him. He's an awesome guy. So Naomi, my partner, and a couple guys, they found this guy. And so I asked Naomi to share her experience of that. And she's a little shy, so I just got her to write something, and I'll just read it out for you. Monday night started slowly. Some of us were a little worried about how to go for it. For me, I was worried that I didn't know enough about God to answer all the questions someone might ask me. I didn't know how to approach someone or how to get over the fear of possible rejection just by mentioning Jesus' name. One Monday night, a couple of us were walking down the streets in Northbridge with blankets ready to give to the needy. We had three blankets, and the first homeless people we came across were in a group of three. Perfect. We handed them out, and they were very grateful. We asked if there was anything else we could give them. A house would be nice. And we said, okay, we wish we could give you that, but right now, is there anything else you need, like food, money, clothes? One man replied that he was not interested in material things. He just wanted peace and assurance that this is not his life forever. We asked if he'd like to take a moment to talk with us, and he agreed. So we sat with him, and before even sharing his story, he brought up that we must be there to save him, that we must be sent by God or something. Not sure what made him say that, but we didn't hesitate, and we agreed, and we said, that is true. We believe that God has led us to you. We spent some time in prayer this afternoon so that we would find the person God wanted us to serve tonight, and we found you. He talked about his struggles, his victories, his hurts from the past, and what he needs right now. All of what he shared seemed to be hard for him because it brought up feelings of pain and anger, and he was really trying to rely on us to say something that would give him hope and encouragement. All the fears I had about saying the wrong thing or being rejected by talking about Jesus vanished completely. There was no doubt that the Holy Spirit was guiding us with what this man needed to hear. We sat with him for over an hour, and all I could think about was how Jesus would want me to respond. Before tonight, I thought about thinking, what would Jesus want me to say? It would be really hard. What if I doubted myself? What if I doubted God's voice? This was not the case at all. I felt so relaxed and at peace. When I looked at this hurting man, all I could see was how fearfully and wonderfully God had made him, how many gifts he has that he felt unable to use because of his situation, and how my heart ached at how much God wanted a relationship with this man. God helped us meet his panic and anxiety about the future with words of hope and assurance. He helped us meet his anger and frustration with patience and gentleness, and his feelings of unworthiness and failure by bringing him the opportunity to be filled with the love of the one who created him. It was clear that he wanted God, but he felt a lot was stopping him. He told us he thanked God every night for getting him through the day, but in the morning he always had a goal of getting it through himself without God. By the end of the night, this man was so grateful and was so assured that the God he knows of is still looking out for him and wants something more for him. This is the night that opened my eyes so much. The power of humbling yourself and listening to someone who desperately needs to speak, the amazing guidance of God to find people like this, and most of all, how I could make God known without even having to have all this crazy theological knowledge at the ready. For me, I realized that I could make God known to others simply by sitting with the people that would normally be unnoticed, by serving them, attending to their needs, by showing them that you love them, even though you only met an hour ago, and by being confident in the one who sent you. How great it is by being who you truly are, being made in the image of God, that through this God can reveal himself to others. So that's it. What an amazing story. That was a really encouraging night for the whole group. And yeah, ended up getting a hotel room for him, got him washed up and everything, gave him a Bible, checked up with him, and he was doing so much better. And we felt, hey, we could actually do stuff. We can actually change lives. And it's all just about having Christ at the center and following his example. What I sort of started to realize is that understanding brings love. I still had more to learn and I still had more to know of God, but I couldn't just know God by just looking at words in a book. I really had to spend time with him, reading his word and spending time with brothers. And I love learning. Like, I just absorb like all the knowledge I can get, but there's more like a relational understanding that I just needed to get deeper in. And so as an example, I heard this preached just yesterday. He said, when you look at like a painting, and it's like postmodern sort of splashes of color, and you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty nice. And the guy next to you, he's like an art expert, and he's just like, yeah. If you look, the colors and the composition, they mean this, and the artist was going through this at this point in his life, and that's why it looks like that. And you look at it and you're like, oh. And then you start to see it and you're like, oh, I like it even more now. And then once you understand it and you love it more, you want to share it to the next person. Like, hey, did you know like the artist was going through this at this point in their life? Or like if even you have like a music piece and you hear the lyrics, and you know what the artist was going through when they sung those lyrics, it means so much more. And you get excited about that and it has like this impact on you. Or even a human being, you know, when you first get to know them, you sort of like you can love them and you'll be friends with them and say they like books, you're like, cool. But then they tell you, oh yeah, I love books because I was reading since I was 3 years old. My dad would give me a book every week, and then you see them reading a book and you just feel that love for them, you know, of understanding where they come from. And so I was praying for more understanding of God, of who he is, how he works, and why he is. And at the same time where understanding breeds love, love calls us to understand more. When you love something, you want to know more about it, whether it's your favorite movie, your favorite book, facts about your favorite animal, facts about a cute girl, anything. God wants us to be excited about him and who he is. And if you look at the Bible, everything that God does, it's so that we can know him. In Eden, God was known, and we lost that knowledge. And if you look at Israel, Isaiah says it was meant to be a light unto the nations. God put together the Jewish people to reflect his face upon everyone. And I've just got a list of things that God did to make us know him. He spoke audibly, he sent angels, he used dreams, visions, performed miracles, sent prophets, he intervened in history, like directly, and he preserved and packaged this all in scripture so that we can read it and so that we can know him. And that was really powerful to me. And then we see Jesus himself was sent to reveal the nature of God. In John 14:7, it says, if you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus' life teaching was how to make God known to others. Christianity is essentially sharing good news of who God is. Once Jesus was baptized and tested, he immediately took on a teaching role. He went to the Galilees and he said, the kingdom of God is here. There is good news. Share the good news. He dedicated his life to showing God's power. And he left us, of course, with the Great Commission. Go to all places, all nations, and disciple them. And the Holy Spirit will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you everything that you need to know. And that can be hard because people think that they do know God. In the world today, we have a lot of secularism, a lot of atheism. They have an idea of who God is, and then once they construct this idea, they reject that and they say, no, I don't believe in this. And that's really hard for us, because we have the knowledge of our Father as this wonderful, loving person, and they've learned how to reject it. You know, if you look at any children, you talk to them about God, they have this innate understanding of who God is. It's crazy. And you have to unteach yourself God. That's something that you unlearn if you choose to, or that's something that you can get deeper into and understand even more. And a lot of this human wisdom, even in schools and stuff, they'll just teach you how to look at the world with God out of the picture, how to think in the ways of this world. So yeah, 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If you think you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you can become wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Examples of human wisdom: do whatever makes you happy. Doesn't matter if it's a destructive sin, if it makes you happy, just go for it, you know? Reason and logic, it's the only way to attain knowledge. Science, that gets us the answer, nothing else. Live for yourself. Don't let others tell you what to do. Great human wisdom. Seek finances. Work your way up in the world, you know? You got to get the best job you can. Set yourself up. But then there's spiritual wisdom, which says, do whatever makes God happy. Suffer persecution, no matter what. Seek his spirit and fear God for knowledge. Live for Christ, no matter what the world says. And humble yourself and make yourself the lowest you possibly can so that you can serve mankind. Setting yourself apart is what helps make him known, showing us that we can be fools to this world and wise in God. And we must make him known. John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." So that's a lot of what's been sort of revealed to me lately of just modeling myself after the person of Jesus, and that's where all my understanding's coming from. And so I also wanted to share, since I've been seeking God more closely lately, God's been asking me to do some hard things. I'm sure some of you have heard the whisperings that me and Naomi are going to Japan, and that's true. For as long as I can remember, I feel that God has been calling me to go to other places, and I always felt that I wasn't meant to stay in Perth forever. I was meant to go out there and make God known to somewhere, and Japan's been on my heart for a while. And even earlier this year, as I was praying at this conference, and I just closed my eyes, I just had this vision of being in Japan, and I saw all these Japanese people around me, and they just looked empty, like their hearts just looked empty. They didn't know God, and it made me weep. I remember, like, my head was just on the ground, and my tears were flowing just up my face, and it was remarkably powerful. And just that desire, I just want to teach who you are, God. I just want them to know who you are, God. So, yeah, I've got a lot of plans and stuff to put into place, but I really believe that, God's sending me there. So, yeah, that's about all I have to share. In conclusion, I just want to say, learn more about your Father as much as you can. Spend as much time with him as you can. It really changes your everyday life. Seek his word, seek his brothers. Be holy as Christ is holy. And I just wanted to end with a prayer for all of us, if we can. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone in our lives that you feel we are called to talk to, whoever it is, close friend, haven't talked to them for a while, just if you want us to see them or send them a text or message or just anything, Lord, I just want to pray that you reveal to us who it is that needs to know you. Just take a couple minutes. For all the people that you've placed in your life, and I just pray that in everything that we do, we can become better examples of who you truly are to them. I just pray that if you've put someone on our hearts, that we don't forget, and that we do seek them out, and that we do show them who Christ is. And I also want to pray, God, if there's any part of you that you need to reveal to us today in a greater, more fuller way, I pray that you do that now, whether it is you need to see God more as Father, more as a friend, more as a judge, more as Lord, whatever it is, God, I just pray that you show us something new. We'll have the last song.
Thanks, Ben, for these beautiful words. When Ben shared with me his heart for going to Japan, that reminded me so much the first time that I heard the voice of God saying, Jonas, it's time for you to get ready. You're leaving Brazil. Took me 1 year before getting ready and leaving Brazil. But in this whole year, God changed my heart in a beautiful way. Helped me to get clean through all addictions and things that I was facing that time. Helped me to learn more about Him. And helped me to understand that His presence is everything for me. So when Ben shared with me, I thought, Ben, that's beautiful. The Lord's putting this in your heart. But don't be like the Rumble. Go through the war alone. You have a family here who cares for you. He's willing to support you. So I had a very nice conversations about preparing to go on a mission trip. And so many people put their hands up to say, we want to support Ben in a beautiful way of getting knowledge, understanding, and so on. So we're on this process. But Ben's calling is not his own calling. God's calling him to do something different as he calls us to go out and preach the good news. I'm living in a country that's not my own house. But the Lord says that the prophet is in own house, in own city, or in own place or country, has not of a great value. Jesus Christ couldn't make too much mirrors in his own town. But as he was reaching out, he could work beautifully. So it's the beginning of a journey for this gentleman here, which opened up a massive opportunity for our youth to start thinking about missions. It opens a massive opportunity of us as a church of reaching out others in this area, in Dunkirk, Perth, or Western Australia. We don't know where the Lord wants to take us, but He's given us hints and signs. We are praying for the Lord to bless these people, to bless these lands, and He's doing a beautiful thing. He's touching our hearts. So this last song is talking about, Lord, I give you my heart. I guess you guys know this lyric, but if you don't know, it's okay. But it's a beautiful prayer. When you say, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul to you. Please do with me whatever pleases you. You're removing yourself from the Lord's, how can I say, yourself from yourself, and let the Lord act on you. And that's what we're here for. You're not just here to get some things for us, but to receive from the Lord and share with others. And then you can put into practice what's in Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore to the world and preach the good news to every single creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to follow all my commands. And I will be with you always. That's what the Lord says. So let's stand up and sing this last song. But don't just sing as a song. Try to sing this song as a prayer.